If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter of the Gospel according to Luke? And we're going to begin there in the 32nd verse. Jesus has been to trial and condemned. In the 32nd verse, we read, "There were two others, thieves, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the thieves, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" Would you pray with me? Dear Father, we ask that you would reach out to each and every person who is listening, that you would touch their hearts. Father, that you would draw them close to you, that you would let them know Jesus more clearly than they have ever known. And Father, that they would have you move in their hearts and lives, that they might never be the same. Lord, I pray for those that are listening that do not know Jesus as their Savior, that today they would invite Jesus to come into their hearts and save their souls. I pray, Father, for believers that you would encourage each one, draw them close to yourself, and let them know they are not alone. Use this time for your glory, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is a time that we are centered in on the coronavirus, and you're hearing about the coronavirus many times every day. But I want you to understand this is not the coronavirus season. This is the Easter season, and Easter is very special. Have you ever wondered what's the deal with Easter? I mean, Easter comes around every year, but it doesn't come at the same time every year. What's with that? Most of us have birthdays. We may not care to acknowledge them, but we have them. And those birthdays fall on the same date every year. Yeah, I know some of you forget the years that you have, but it's the same date. Most holidays have a calendar date and fall at the same time year by year. Christmas always is on December 25th. July 4th falls on July 4th. Well, that's where it needs to be. And then there are days like Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving does fall on different dates, but it is on the same date, the same day of the week, in the same month every year. For instance, it is the fourth Thursday in November. But Easter? Easter is a moving target. Easter, Resurrection Day, is the day that we as Christians celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It doesn't fall on a fixed date, although the events of Easter happened on a fixed date. Easter is affixed to the lunar solar calendar, which is used to set Passover. And that's different from our solar calendar that has every date being the same, rotating year by year. Now, who decided that? I'm glad you asked. It was the Council of Nicaea many years ago. They determined that Easter would arrive on the Sunday after the first full moon or after the vernal equinox. But there was a problem. You see, there was a difficulty trying to decide what full moon are we talking about. You see, there are different types of full moons. There is the astrological full moon. That's the one that you look up in the sky and there's a full moon. And then there's the ecclesiastical full moon. The ecclesiastical full moon only occurs between March 21st and April 22nd. Now, for the vernal equinox, that's the day that there are equal amounts of light and darkness. So Easter is going to be on the first Sunday after the vernal equinox or after the ecclesiastical full moon. Now, how do you know when it's Easter? Google it. Easter moves. Actually, Easter hops. Maybe that's where the bunny comes in. You see, we have a lot of things that are tied to Easter. Some communities have parades. People dress up in their Easter finest and they parade down the street and people line the streets to watch. For most, Easter is tied to a bunny, and if you got a bunny, you need baskets, and if you got a basket, you got to put something in them so eggs will work. And by the way, it's Easter, so you want to dress the eggs up, so you color the eggs. And so we have colored eggs, and we have Easter bunnies, and we have Easter baskets. Don't forget candy, because we always want a time to get more candy. There's a lot of fun wrapped up in those things, and we enjoy those things. But that's not really what Easter is about. Easter is about new life that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And if you are going to have that new life, if you are going to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then, my friend, you're going to have to understand that Easter is about forgiveness. For without forgiveness, nobody can experience new life in Jesus Christ. And if you're going to talk about forgiveness related to Easter, that's going to take us to Calvary, where Jesus died to provide forgiveness for you and me. Now, at the time that Jesus died, there was a trial prior to his death. He was brought to Pilate. Pilate was the Roman governor of the region. Pilate was not happy to see Jesus brought to him. The Jews brought him in. They came in with obviously false charges. They accused him of seeking to overthrow Rome. And if you really want to get the idea or the mindset of a politician, you accuse somebody of stopping people from paying taxes. And so they laid that charge against Jesus. They accused Jesus of seeking to undermine Caesar. Nothing really could have been further from the truth. For you see, Jesus encouraged those that followed him to give to Caesar. In fact, he said, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar. Give to God the things that are God's. The testimony was so unbelievable against Jesus that Pilate, frustrated, finally turned to Jesus and said, you, are you the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered respectfully, it is as you say. The accuser said that he stirred up the people in Galilee. When Pilate heard Galilee, he thought maybe he had a way out of this mess. He was in Jerusalem for the Passover, and that's where Herod was, the king over Galilee. And so he had Jesus taken to King Herod. Herod was excited to see Jesus. Herod had heard Jesus perform miracles. And so Herod looked at Jesus coming as if an illusionist had come into his very presence. He was waiting for Jesus to do a trick. But Jesus is no magician. Jesus is the Son of God and is Almighty Son of God. He would not perform for Herod. Herod mocked him. Herod belittled him. But Jesus answered him not a word. So Herod had some choices. Herod could put Jesus to death. After all, it had not been long since he had put John the Baptist to death. He had had John the Baptist's head chopped off. He could chop off the head of Jesus. Or he could sentence Jesus to a Jewish execution. That would have been stoning. But if Jesus had been put to death by stoning, or if he had had his head removed, that would mean Jesus could not fulfill the prophecies of the scriptures, and Jesus would not be the Messiah. God protected Jesus. And so Jesus was not killed at the hands of Herod. Herod, for fear of the people, not wanting the political pressure that Jesus brought, sent Jesus back to Pilate. Pilate was frustrated with it all. He called the Jews back before him. They accused Jesus again. He gives his verdict again. In verse 14 of this chapter, we find, "I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man touching those things which you accuse him of. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death was done by Jesus." Pilate offered to set Jesus free. Pilate had an idea. You see, it was a common custom for the governor to set a prisoner free. Why not Jesus? And he would make it their choice. He would give them the worst known person in his jail, and he would give them Jesus, this gentleman. And so he gave them the option, Jesus or a man named Barabbas. He knew they would choose Barabbas, but they didn't. The priest had worked the crowd so that they cried out, "Set Barabbas free." Pilate said, "Well, what would you have me do with Jesus?" And they had the crowd shout out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate gave him over. He took a basin of water and he washed his hands and he said, "I'm free of this matter." He thought washing his hands could free him of the responsibility. Now, it's good to wash your hands. We're reminded of that often today. And washing your hands could protect you from the coronavirus, but it cannot remove your sins. And it could not ease Pilate's burden. Jesus was taken. He was beaten until he was unrecognizable. He was whipped so that the very skin was stripped from his body. And a cross was placed upon him for him to take to the hill of Golgotha. When he got to Calvary, they crucified him there between two thieves, one on the right and the other on the left. Now, I said this is about forgiveness, and indeed it is, because in this passage we see what happened, and we see forgiveness was prayed. In verse 34, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, we look at that phrase as kind of a one-time statement. Jesus on the cross one time looked down and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But the Greek has very specific tenses that mean very specific things. This particular phrase is in the imperfect tense in the Greek. That means continual action. That gives us the understanding that Jesus just did not say once, "Father, forgive them," but Jesus continually prayed, "Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them." It is very likely that when they beat Jesus unmercifully, beating him so that he was unrecognizable, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them." And when they took the whip and stripped the skin from his back, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them." When they laid him on the cross and they put nails in his hands and his feet, what was heard was the voice of Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them." And as he hung on that cross, he cried out, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them." Pilate found no fault in Jesus. Herod found no fault in Jesus. Pilate's wife found no fault in Jesus. A centurion guard found no fault in Jesus. But greater than that, greater than them all, God the Father found no fault in Jesus. He did not die because he needed forgiveness. He died because we need forgiveness. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray. E'en while his life's blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe. No one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, certainly, they knew their actions. They knew the results of their actions. When Judas betrayed Jesus, he knew what he was doing enough to barter for more money. When the Jews turned Jesus over, they knew the type of death that Jesus would have to die. When Pilate turned Jesus over to be crucified, he certainly knew the death, even though he had proclaimed Jesus innocent on two occasions. And he tried to wash his hands of it. Yes, they knew much of what they were doing. The Romans who nailed Jesus to the cross that waited for him to die, that would cast lots to get his garments, had a knowledge of what Jesus was going to go through. Well, they knew the physical agony to some degree. They knew some of the pain, yes, but they did not know the severity of the horror that Jesus would experience spiritually. They did not know the agony of the sinless Son of God having your sin and my sin pour through him. No, they did not know. In praying for forgiveness, Jesus was asking the Father to allow him to finish what he came to do, to allow him to complete everything necessary to provide a way for you and me to be forgiven. Judas didn't know it. The Jews didn't know it. The Romans did not know it. The crowd did not know it. But all Jesus had to do was to cry out, and God would have sent his angels, and they were ready to come. In fact, I believe they had to be held back, for they wanted to rescue Jesus. In Matthew 26, 53, Jesus said, "Do you not think I can pray the Father, and he will give me more than 12 legions of angels?" 12 legions. Now, a legion is thought to be 1,000 men, but in Jesus' day, a legion was made up of 6,000 men. 12 legions, 72,000 angels. Now, what could 72,000 angels do? I don't really know, but I know what one angel can do because we have the evidence in Isaiah 37, 36. The angel of the Lord killed, one angel, the angel of the Lord killed 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. Certainly, 72,000 angels could have taken Jesus off the cross, could have defeated the Romans and everyone else that was in Jerusalem, in fact, all of Israel. All he had to do was cry out, but he didn't cry out for the angels. He cried out for forgiveness. Forgiveness was prayed. And then we say forgiveness is pursued. In verse 42, a thief on the cross said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This time, this man is crying out for Jesus to save his soul. He's not asking him to get him out of this mess. He is asking him for eternal salvation. Now, this passage refutes a lot of bad theology. You see, there are some people that say you have to work your way to heaven. You do enough good deeds and you get to go to heaven. But in truth, there are no good deeds that can erase even one sin. What good deeds could this thief on the cross do? He was kind of attached, you see, all the way into death. And so, no, you don't get to heaven by good deeds. It refutes the thought of soul sleep. Some believe that when you die, you just go to sleep. Some believe in a place called purgatory, where you are held in waiting between heaven and hell. The scripture reveals, today you will be with me in paradise. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, let me tell you a truth. If you die today, you will be with Jesus today. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It wipes out universalism. Universalism says that everybody will be saved. Everybody will go to heaven. But that's not how it works. You see, there were two thieves on those crosses. Only one went with Jesus. This thief came to faith by observing Jesus in the crucifixion, watching him how he dealt with others, watching him how he treated others, and the love that poured through him and the forgiveness for which he prayed. At first, this man had mocked Jesus, but then he came to believe in Jesus. This thief had a change in heart. He had a change in heart about his own sin. You know, most people deny that they do anything wrong. They deny their own sin, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This particular thief knew that he had wronged. He knew that he deserved the punishment that he was getting. When you realize that you're a sinner, and you realize that Jesus is the perfect Son of God who came to save you, and that he was willing to die on a cross that you might be forgiven, you're on the road to salvation. He reaches out to Jesus as his Lord. He doesn't say, "Get me off this cross." He says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." There was another thief there. The thief on the other cross mocked Jesus, saying, "Save yourself and us. Get us out of this mess." Little did he know, had Jesus answered that prayer, had Jesus come down off the cross, then none of us would be able to be saved, and none of us would be able to ever be forgiven. The thief who reached out to Jesus did so in a period of time. May I tell you, you have to come to Jesus in a period of time. If there is one thing we should know right now, better than we have known at any time in our lives, life has a time. We are given a period of time where there are going to be a multitude of deaths because of this virus. Life has a time. We don't know who has the virus. We don't know whose time is almost up. We do not know. But we do know life has a time. And if you are going to make a decision for Jesus, you need to do so in the time you have life. And that would be right now. You see, had this thief waited, he would have just died and gone into eternity without Jesus, without heaven, without forgiveness. But praise God, he didn't wait. May I plead with you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, do not wait. Forgiveness was prayed, forgiveness was pursued, and then we see forgiveness is provided. In verse 46, it says, "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.'" And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. Jesus had prayed that the Father would allow him to fulfill all that needed to be fulfilled so that forgiveness could be offered to all that would receive it. Jesus completed that. When Jesus bore our sins on that cross, the world was cast into darkness. The very sun refused to shine. In verse 45, the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. As Jesus bore the weight of your sins and mine and everyone else's, the sun went dark and the veil was torn. What's the big deal about the veil? Well, the veil of the temple separated the Holy of Holies, the most holy place where once a year the high priest would go in and offer a sacrifice. That sacrifice would not remove sin, but it would push sins away closer to the time when God would provide a sacrifice once for all. Jesus provided that sacrifice. There was no more need for the veil to drape off the Holy of Holies. So it is as if God took that veil. The Bible is very specific and says it was torn from the top to the bottom. How in the world was it torn from the top? God just took it and tore it like a piece of paper, because no separation is any more needed, because Jesus died, one sacrifice for all, to provide forgiveness to anyone who will receive it. When Jesus bore our sins, he provided a path of forgiveness. Joseph of Arimathea begged for the body of Jesus. Typically, they would take bodies down from the cross. They would throw it on the garbage heap where it would be burned. But Jesus' body was not to be burned. It was granted to Joseph. He placed the body of Jesus in a new tomb. It's a tomb that Joseph actually had prepared for himself. But he would let Jesus use it. He would honor Jesus in that way. So the body of Jesus was protected. What's the deal with that? What's the big deal? If Jesus is dead, why do we need to protect the body? Oh, Sunday's coming. Easter. Easter is about forgiveness. Jesus died on that cross for you and for me. And if you have never invited Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive your sins, and to save your soul, then what Jesus did on that cross has not been applied to you. But that can all change. In a moment, you can invite Jesus to forgive your sins, to come into your heart, to save your soul. It's very simple. And it really is not so much a matter of words as it is a matter of your heart. And so I plead with you, if you have never invited Jesus to save your soul, would you do it now? Would you understand what Jesus did on the cross in order to save you, in order to forgive you? Don't you want that forgiveness? Then all you have to do is ask. He has done everything necessary to have it provided for you, but it is not yours unless you will receive it. The scripture says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. Would you receive him right now? I'm going to pray a prayer, and the words of the prayer are not so important as your heart. It's a prayer that I prayed when I asked Jesus to save my soul. And if you want the forgiveness that Jesus died for, would you invite him in just by praying after me? Lord Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive my sin. Come into my heart. Save my soul. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. And I pray this in your holy name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you do me a favor? Would you tell somebody? In fact, would you let us know? Would you call us? Call our church number, 706-324-7183. 706-324-7183. and let us know that you've asked Jesus to come into your heart. We'll get in touch with you. If you need to know more, let us know. We'll get in touch with you. If you have a problem, if you're stressed out, if you need counsel, let us know and we will pray for you. We believe God has a purpose for you in this time. Now, if you're a believer and maybe you've let worshiping God go, maybe you've left Jesus out, this is the time to renew your commitment to Jesus. It is a time just to bow and ask Jesus to forgive you where you've been wrong and to empower you to follow him. We need to draw closer to Jesus today than any point in our lives. I encourage you to do so. And now as we close, let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross. We thank you, Father, that you allowed him to do everything necessary that we might have forgiveness. And Father, now I pray for those that are listening, Father, that they might receive that forgiveness, that they would reach out to you and invite Jesus to save them, to forgive them. And Father, that they would know salvation and forgiveness this very day, not for a day, but for all eternity. Thank you for believers, Father. I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that, Father, you would take them through this week with victory. And we thank you, Father, for Easter, which is coming, and the joy, Father, that only comes by the fact that Jesus not only died for us, but he rose again. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Join us next week right here, Northside Baptist Church. We're looking for you.